And now please turn with me to Paul's letter to the Romans in the New Testament, chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. I'm going to pick it up in the kind of a middle of a thought, but I think you'll catch on. Want to read from verse 8 through verse 13. Romans chapter 10, verse 8. Again, the inspired word of God. But what does it say? The word is near you in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Thus far, the reading of God's most holy word. Now, if everything goes according to plan, and I trust that it will, 1 week from today, there will be a number of young people who will stand in front of this congregation and before God and will publicly state their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We speak of this as a public confirmation of the covenant promises claimed in baptism. Now, it does not mean that at that moment they will then become saved. It does mean that they are publicly making a statement of what's in their heart. In fact, a vow before God. What they believe, and we trust that they will be serious about what is in fact in their heart, understanding that they are taken an oath before God. They've gone through a process of being catechized, that is, they've been instructed. And they are going to be asked to give a testimony of what they have learned in order to be able to confess Christ. But what is ultimately important is what is really in their heart as a conviction. And that's important because it does say a great deal about one's relationship with Christ and with God. To confess from the heart that Christ is Lord is by the work of the Holy Spirit. It is a testimony to the fact that the Holy Spirit is working in one's heart. Our scripture is very clear. I will be saying this several times over. But it is not a statement of hope. It is a statement of fact. It must be seriously taken as to what Christ says to you, to all who believe and confess Christ as Lord and Savior. This is what Christ says to you. When you confess Jesus, what is the promise that you have from him? We're going to look at that promise this morning. What is that confession? What is the implication of that confession? And what it means for all those who confess from the heart their relationship with Christ. Christ does call you, confess with your mouth what you believe in your heart. We read earlier from Deuteronomy, which Paul quotes here in Romans 10 in our passage. And it makes it clear how this is possible. The word has been given to you. It's not mysterious. It's not far away. It doesn't need to be run through a church's interpretation, although the church has a place for teaching the word of God. It is yours. God has spoken to you. The word, the message of salvation is made known. You know what it is. Not only do you know, but you are able to understand and believe. And yes, young people can have convictions. Because Christ has opened the heart, the eyes of your heart, I should say. We read in Ephesians, the second chapter, how is it possible that anyone makes a confession of faith, expresses his faith in Jesus Christ? Ephesians 2:8 says, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. It is part of the work of grace. It is part of when we say we are saved by grace. We are saved by grace, and as was already explained this morning, that Christ has paid for our sins. But part of that grace is that Christ works in your hearts. Christ gives to you because he has called you unto yourself, that you may be able to know and believe and have convictions. To say, I believe, I trust that Christ has redeemed me, and I know that I belong to him. You know, to say that is not a boast. It's not a statement of arrogance. It is not to overlook the seriousness of sin. It is simply to recognize and receive what God has promised, that he said he would do, and he has called you to have a conviction. Earlier, we read from Lord's Day 23 in the Heidelberg Catechism, particularly question and answer number 59. I said I would have occasion to make some comment about that in my message. But we also read and took some time to look at 60 and 61, which you will remember I said is a great statement of theology, a basic teaching of what the salvation is. We find a similar type of statement in question and answers in the Catechism of number 21, which is about what true faith is. Certainly number one, which is sort of the introduction to the entire gospel, is such a one. In fact, you young people will remember, if you listened, and I know you did, that at some point in time, I have always said to young people that when we ask you to memorize the catechism in our daily, weekly instructions and so on, and what a gift that is to be able to instill in your heart to have a treasure of the Word of God. We don't necessarily expect you to always remember it, although that would be a good goal to have, but I always hold out before young people, and I would hold out that out before all of you here this morning. Memorize number one, number 21, and number 60 in such a way that you will never forget them, because they are the treasure of what salvation is. They are indeed important statements of faith. But I have also come to the conviction, not because of what's the theology in it, but the most important statement in the entire catechism is in question and answer number 59. Here's what it says. What does it help you now that you believe all this? And the answer is that I am righteous in Christ and an heir of eternal life. Notice the question which says, what does it help you now that you believe all this? Well, what is that all this referring to in that question? If you're familiar at all with the catechism, you will know that questions and answers number 24 through 58 are a series of expositions, explanations, if you will, teachings about the Apostles' Creed. The Apostles' Creed are the fundamental statements of the Christian faith. That is what Christians hold to and believe. That is what it means to be a Christian. Those things that are stated and taught in the Apostles' Creed. So it is to those articles of faith that 59 now asks the question, what does it help you now that you believe all this? Those articles of faith. And note, it doesn't say, what does it help you now that you have memorized all of these? What does it help you now that you know all of these? What does it help you now? Did you understand what they're saying? No, it says, what does it help you now that you believe all this? And the answer is that I am righteous in Christ. That's an unbelievable statement to say that I am righteous in Christ. That means there is nothing between you and God. It's all just fine. And an heir of eternal life, it means eternal life is yours. If you believe all this, these fundamentals of faith, the authors of the catechism based on scripture as we read here in Romans, to believe in your heart means this reality. It does not say that salvation is now, okay, now you understand what it's all about, and now you've got to get to work and see if you can get to someplace that you're right with God. It does not say, here's a path to follow, and if you follow it well enough, if you struggle enough all of your life long, you can get there. No, it says, this is where you are at because of what's in your heart. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. It is the simple message of the gospel of grace. Salvation is not based on any accomplishment of any kind. Let's be very clear about that. It is the result completely provided for by God through the Savior, the Redeemer, Christ, His Son, and by the work of the Holy Spirit, applying that into your heart. Now that says it all, doesn't it? What else could we want? What absolute assurance that we have. Now obviously there's a great deal to be said about the implications of what Christ has done for us, but the statement is clear. It stands, as I said earlier, not a statement of hope. I hope this will happen. How many people today in our world who claim to be Christians will still say, well, I hope I will be with the Lord someday? This is a statement of fact. You are heirs of eternal life. You need to believe it. It's what the Lord says to you. And yet, there are those, even in the name of being reformed, who will look at this and say, well, that's way too easy. Anybody could just do that. That's way too easy. You must prove something. You must first struggle with sin in your life. You must first reach a certain level of moral living before you can begin to take any hope in that. And you have to even struggle perhaps all of your life long, and very near the end, maybe you've come to the point where you can have some convictions. Beloved congregation, when Christ, the head of the church, says this is what faith means, salvation, if you believe in your heart, then that's it. There's a response which says, that's too easy. It's even been referred to as easy believism. That's a serious affront to Christ. Christ has said, I have done it all for you. It's tantamount to calling Christ a liar. Let me say it in an even more simple way. Based on what is clearly stated here by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, understood by the church as it is written in the creeds, in the catechism, confession of faith, having salvation, being righteous with God and being an heir of eternal life is the absolute easiest thing that you can ever do. Because Christ has done it for you. Salvation to be accomplished was not easy. The Lord had to go to the cross. He had to pay the full weight of God's wrath for our sin. The Holy Spirit must take your cold, stone heart of rebellion against God and change it and mold it and make it into one that loves the Lord. But that's the work of God. for salvation to be accomplished. But for you, anyone, the easiest thing you will ever do is to have salvation. Simply believe in your heart. That's it. As soon as you say, yes, but, you put it into the category of works. You have taken it out of the realm of grace. And when works in any way becomes part of the equation, having to do something in order to get to the point of salvation, having to prove that you are morally righteous enough in order for God to be able to say this to you, for in order for you to know that you are of salvation. Notice that Paul must make a connection between the words, confess with your mouth and believe in your heart. While standing here and answering the questions does not save, but the one who believes in his heart is one who has the love of Christ in his heart and will desire, will love to be able to, will want to shout it from the rooftops, I'm a believer, and will want others to embrace it as well. It is what we do when we worship. We confess the Apostles' Creed. You know, one of the biggest hang-ups which people have with the simplicity of this statement by Paul and a confession of faith that you are righteous with Christ and an heir of eternal life is sin. Let me assure you that this does not diminish the seriousness of sin in any way. In fact, the opposite is true. It is precisely because of the fall into sin and the life of sin which we have all engaged in, and the sinful desires that are still struggles within our hearts are all before us. It is, in fact, to be dead in sin, your daily continued failure regarding the law of God is not overlooked by God by any means. Let's be clear, God hates sin. Not just that which we see in a clear and open way in our culture today, but every thought and deed which is not 100% in conformity with God's law requires payment. Now notice, if you want to include in any way something that you can point to, say, look, here's what I've done along with what Christ has done for me. Paul talks about that in our passage here a few verses earlier in verse 5 of Romans 10. Paul says, for Moses writes about the righteousness which is of the law, the man who does those things shall live by them. If you want to claim your righteousness based on the law, then you must keep the law every moment of your life absolutely perfect. No one can do that. That is a formula for absolute hopelessness. There is no hope for anyone on that basis. Yet the statement referenced in the catechism is that I am righteous in Christ, applying what Paul says here, for with the heart one believes unto righteousness. The message that God came to Adam and Eve with when they sinned in the garden is that he said, well, okay, you messed up, now I'm going to give you a bunch of things to do in order to make it right. No, not at all. He says, here's what I'm going to do for you to give you life. It's the gospel of the good news. Simply to say very clearly, you are now right with God because of Christ. It is not that God says, and let's be careful how we understand what that means. It's not that God says, well, if you express enough and with enough enthusiasm in your heart, then I'm going to let you into heaven someday, even though you have not been perfect. No. Rather, God says that by the Son, the Redeemer, sin will be taken care of. It is paid. It is removed. It is gone. You stand righteous before God. All that we noted earlier I talked about question and answer number 60 and just touched the surface of that. Applies. That's yours when you say with a conviction, Christ is Lord. You stand righteous before God as though there had never been any sin, as though your life today is one of perfect obedience. That's justification. Again, it's the easiest thing in the world to have, because it's not of you or I, but truly by grace. Now remember, the Heidelberg Catechism is a confession of faith. And based on Scripture, it is an expression of what is in the heart of the believer. How can you be so sure? How can you be so confident? How can you actually say, I am righteous in Christ? That's a fantastic statement to think about it. And an heir of eternal life. Well, it's simply this. It's what Christ says to you that he has done for you. Are you going to say yes to him? Or are you going to believe what Christ says? The hope which the believer has in Christ is not the hope of wishful thinking. It is the hope of a conviction, of certainty. Think again of Adam and Eve in the garden when sin took place. Immediately they knew that they were not able to continue in the relationship they had with God prior to sin. And when God called upon them, they hid. But God came to them and found them. The reason that you have a conviction in your heart is because God has come to you. The purpose for which God has for you, the purpose for which God created man in the first place, the purpose for which God recreates sinful man to again be, is to be one with God. God enjoys the fellowship between man and God. It is a reason for creating and recreating. The message, the gospel, is a message of restoration. The catechism says, righteous and an heir. To be an heir is to have all of the privileges of belonging to the household, the relationship that we have with God. That's not for someday, that's for now. So here's the thing, and this is exactly where many get it backwards. The relationship, the restoration to be right with God is not just something for someday. We do not go through life as believers going to church on occasion and saying, yes, I'm a believer, I've got my membership, I'm fine, and yes, I struggle with things and I get involved with these things in the world and maybe I shouldn't do this, but someday I'll be right with God. No. The message of the gospel is that God has made you right with him now. That means something, to be right with God. The one who has the stench of sin removed, the one who is fully restored with God, who truly from the heart says, Christ is my Lord, is the one who loves God and loves the truth of God. Yes, how the believer lives from day to day, how he struggles with sin in this life from Lord's Day to Lord's Day, is of the utmost importance, and that's not easy. Although, let's be clear, it is not about what we need to do in order to become comfortable with God. It is about the fact that we are comfortable with God, and now what? Because if you have that status with God, the one who has faith in his heart, which means to love God, loves nothing better than to worship God. The one who has faith in their heart does not allow anything else in this world to become more important and get in the way of worshiping God. And yes, that's a struggle. The one who loves God, who has true faith in his heart, wants to have nothing to do with the sinful lifestyle of the world around us and even of the struggling heart within us. And yes, there is a struggle. It is not easy from day to day to continuously put down those desires that are within us, those temptations that are so powerful out there. We have to struggle with those, yes. But again, it's not the struggle unto salvation. It's the struggle of those who are saved and love the Lord. The latter, that is the one who struggles, who insists that there has to be a struggle until we have proven that we can say, I am righteous with God. That's a path of unbelief. There will never bring hope. The one who understands he is right with God, his struggle is pleasing. His Savior is pleasing unto the Lord. His struggle is to experience more and more the reality of being a righteous heir. What we really have here in this passage, congregation, this is a description of the church. This is who you are. This is what God has called his people to. Yes, we often say, well, if you're looking for a perfect church, you'll be disappointed because as soon as you join it, it won't be perfect anymore. Or we talk about the fact that the church is filled. Somebody says, I don't want to go to that church. There's too many sinners there. The church is filled with sinners. That's what it is. But yes, they are righteous in Christ because of Christ. They are heirs of eternal life, and they struggle with sin in their life. But they are God's people who stand right before God. I trust that a description that we have here is, in fact, the description of everyone here today. I certainly trust it is the description of those young people standing their faith next Lord's Day. And if you are not sure, I call upon you to believe simply what Christ says to you from his word. And then I encourage, live as though you really meant it. Let us pray. Our God and Father, how awesome. How we struggle with trying to understand, and yet how clear and simple it is, and how profound it is to simply be able to say, Lord, you are my Savior, and I am righteous and an heir of eternal life. May we truly all truly know and say that, confess that from our hearts, even as we look to you, our Lord and Savior, the prayer which you have taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever.